to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and today we're talking about the use of basal insulin plus a glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonist, or more commonly referred to as a GLP-1-RA. The FDA recently approved two new fixed-ratio combination products, which contain both a basal insulin and a GLP-1-RA. One of these products, which has been given the brand name Soliqua, contains insulin glargine and lixisenatide. And we'll refer to this product as iGlarlixi during this podcast. And the other product contains insulin degludec and liraglutide. This product has been given the brand name Zultolfi, and we will refer to it as iDegLira. Both of these products will be available in early 2017 for the treatment of patients with type 2 diabetes. Now, joining me today are Ann Mischer from the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy and Allison Presnell from St. Joseph Candler Health System in Savannah, Georgia. Doctors Mischer and Presnell wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled iGlarlixi. Is there a role for fixed ratio injectable combinations in type 2 diabetes? Ann, Allison, thanks for joining us today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you, Stuart, for having us. Yes, we're really excited to join you today.
So, Ann, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Benefits of Lixilan, a titratable fixed ratio combination of insulin glargine plus lixisenatide versus insulin glargine and lixisenatide monocomponents in type 2 diabetes inadequately controlled with oral agents, more affectionately known as the Lixilan-O trial, which appeared in the August issue of Diabetes Care, to someone who hasn't read that paper, what would you say?
I would say this study was an open-label trial that evaluated the safety and efficacy of Lixilan, or as we mentioned earlier, iGlarlixi. And this is a fixed-dose combination product of lixisenatide and insulin glargine. The study included 1,170 patients, and all these patients had type 2 diabetes. They were uncontrolled on oral therapy, including metformin. Patients were randomly assigned to one of three different groups. And those groups included iGlarlixi, lixisenatide, or insulin glargine. Patients continued metformin, but discontinued other glucose-lowering therapies. Patients were followed for 30 weeks, and the investigators looked at a primary efficacy endpoint of the change in hemoglobin A1C, as well as several safety endpoints, including hypoglycemia and other adverse effects that we would commonly see with these medications, including GI upset. In the study, iGlarlixi was found to have greater reductions in A1C compared with iGlar and with Lixi, and with an additional lowering of 0.3% compared to the insulin glargine and 0.9% when compared to lixisenatide. Furthermore, patients in the iGlarlixi group were more likely to reach their target goals of both A1C less than 6.5% and an A1C goal of less than 7%. In terms of safety, iGlarlixi had less weight gain compared to the insulin glargine group, with a difference of 1.4 kilograms. iGlarlixi patients also experienced less nausea compared to those in the lixisenatide group. These results are not very surprising to us, but are exciting as the combination products with insulin and that GLP-1 agonist offer the possibility of reduced injection burden and potentially overcome some of our clinical inertia that we experience with adding on therapies.
So, Allison, what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of this study? And are there any potential confounders present in the study that you believe may have impacted the results?
Yes, I think the strength of this study included external validity, just given the study population. The patients had longstanding diabetes, a mean duration of 8.8 years. They were obese, BMI averaged 31.7 kilograms per meter squared, and they overall had uncontrolled diabetes with a mean A1C of 8.2%. The patients are in need of additional agents, and These are the complicated patients that we see on a daily basis. So I think this is really a great population to study this new combination. I think the treatment arms were also a strength. So the readers get a great idea of the impact of glargine and lixisenatide monotherapies in combination with their other oral medications such as metformin, but also comparing these two treatment arms to the combination product themselves. I think you get a great comparative look at the changes in weight, fasting blood glucose, postprandial blood glucose, and hypoglycemia risk when looking at monotherapies compared to the fixed combination product. And these are all components that clinicians consider when initiating or titrating pharmacotherapy. Of course, the study does have a few weaknesses. I think with the combination product, we hope that it provides an improvement in injection burden and it improves adherence and leads to patient satisfaction. However, none of these were really assessed in the study. And so those are things we can postulate on, but weren't exactly specifically addressed by the authors. In addition, the trial was relatively short, and so it only followed patients for about 30 weeks. I think contrasting the external validity, the weakness would be that there was a low percentage of minority patients, and so we might not be able to extrapolate that to their African-American patients that we see in clinic here. One of the largest confounders for this study was patients could have been on other oral agents in addition to metformin before starting the trial. And so over half the patients were on another oral agent at screening, but were discontinued all other oral therapies other than metformin during the run-in phase of the trial. And so their A1Cs may not be indicative of the current therapy that they were on.
So, Anne, I think many clinicians are wondering what the place in therapy for the fixed ratio basal insulin plus a GLP-1 RA products might be. First, similar to fixed ratio insulin products like 70-30, many will argue that each agent should be initiated and titrated separately. Second, if a patient is not at goal on oral medications alone, why not just add a basal insulin and titrate to goal? There is no need to add a GLP-1 RA to achieve good glycemic control. And conversely, if the patient's A1C is less than 9%, why not just add a GLP-1 RA? Studies have shown that adding a GLP-1 RA to oral agents performs quite well when compared to adding basal insulin. Why is this combination even needed? What do you see are the primary advantages of this product, and when would you recommend they be used?
You have posed some very good questions, so let's take a look at each one. First, in terms of starting each agent individually, we have to think about the safety profile for each agent. In this case, weight gain with basal insulin and the GI side effects that are associated with the GLP-1 agonist. This trial showed us that when we start these agents together, patients actually have less of both of these side effects compared to each individual agent by itself. So for insulin, this is important as we know that when patients gain weight, especially in our type 2 diabetes population, this weight gain contributes to progression of the disease and difficulty gaining A1C control. And then when we think about the GLP-1 agonist, those GI side effects are often limiting and one of the causes of discontinuation for those agents. Second, in terms of adding just one agent versus adding both agents, we have definitely noted limitations of both insulin and GLP-1 agonists that are potentially overcome with this combination product. With the addition of basal insulin alone, we have concern for not reaching our postprandial goals. And we know that not reaching our postprandial goals can contribute to poor macrovascular outcomes. When we think of adding GLP-1 agonist therapy alone, I think this trial shows us a clinically significant benefit in our A1C reduction with the use of the combination product compared to just adding the GLP-1. So there was that 0.9% greater reduction that we saw with the combination product compared to just that GLP-1. Many of our patients often face clinical inertia, and there's a lot of hesitation by clinicians to add another agent, especially when our patients are just above goal. And so with this product, getting that additional A1C lowering, decreasing those side effects, I think this product is really needed to ease the burden for our patients. And so I think the primary advantages for this particular product include the improved side effect profile, clinical benefits in reaching our A1C goals. They may experience the decreased injection burden and potentially patient satisfaction as a result of that. When we look at our new 2017 ADA guidelines that have been released, We also see that they've added combination therapy in those patients that have an A1C greater than 10. Although in this particular trial, our patients did not have A1Cs greater than 10. The average was closer to 8%. I do think that this combination product could be used in those patients with even higher A1Cs.
Now, Allison, I want you to imagine you have a 63-year-old African-American obese male who has a long-standing history of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and dyslipidemia, the metabolic syndrome kind of pattern. He also has coronary artery disease and has two stents that were placed a few years ago. The patient currently takes metformin, 1,000 milligrams twice a day, as well as three blood pressure meds, a high-potency statin, and antiplatelet therapy. Now, you're seeing this patient for the first time today. His A1C is 9.1% and was 8.4% 3 months ago. The patient states he's been trying to lose weight. Given the results of the Lixiland-O study, would you favor using a combination basal insulin plus GLP-1RA product in this patient? Or would you stick with adding one drug at a time? And if so, which product would you use first? Or would you recommend adding empagliflozin instead?
I think it's always important to start by assessing why the patient's A1C might have been increased over the past months. And these are usually conversations that we have with the patient during the visit. An assessment of the patient's lifestyle would be important, including any changes in exercise and diet would also be needed to be assessed during the visit. Thinking about which agent to select, we also have to consider which agent will help the patient reach their therapeutic goals, as well as lead to improved outcomes. I always think about safety and efficacy with these patients. And given the last decade of medications that have come out, there are a lot of good options. Given the patient's A1C of around 9%, it's likely the patient may need an addition of more than one agent. And I think that's also reflected in the ADA Standards of Care 2017, looking at combination products or adding more than one agent if their A1C is elevated. So I think for this reason, with this patient, I would consider the addition of a combination product. When looking at the evidence for the individual component of the products, there is evidence in the LEADER trial, LEADER, for cardiovascular benefit with liraglutide, which was not found with lixisenatide. Due to this patient's cardiovascular profile, choosing an agent that has also shown cardiovascular benefit, I think, would be important. And looking at some of the newer agents that are available, so if a single product was to be added for this patient, I think that empagliflozin or liraglutide would be a good option. Even though we have evidence of cardiovascular benefit, still worry about one agent would not provide the blood glucose lowering and the efficacy of A1C reduction needed for this particular patient to reach the goal. In making the final decision for which agent to add, I would be sure to collect several patient-specific factors, including willingness to use injectable therapy, history of other conditions such as frequent mycotic infections, urinary tract infections, hypotension, pancreatitis, or thyroid cancer. Additionally, I would be sure to evaluate laboratory values, including determining their renal function. I think an important component for all of these therapies, unfortunately, is some of these best agents still have a high copayment. So what could this patient afford? And so choosing medications that we can get to the patient into their hands is the most important factor.
Well, thank you, Anne, and thank you, Allison, for joining us today to discuss the Lixiland-O study and the use of combination products that include a basal insulin and a GLP-1RA in patients with type 2 diabetes. And it's clear from your comments that you believe this combination of a basal insulin plus a GLP-1RA has a significant potential benefit for patients, particularly if their baseline A1C is above 9%. The combination product can reduce injection burden and overcome some clinical inertia and get patients to goal while simultaneously reducing the risk of weight gain that we often see with basal insulin, as well as nausea and vomiting that we sometimes see with the GLP-1RAs. Well, tell us what you think. What is the role of combination insulin plus GLP-1RA products for the treatment of patients with type 2 diabetes? Should we routinely use this combination when initiating injectable therapy? Remember, only iFormRx members can leave comments and access our growing list of resource pages. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free, Sign up today. And be sure to sign in every time you visit. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, signing off.